I wonder what it was that you were expecting to come to. Some of you have, I don't know, come Sunday evenings and you've got a vague idea what it's going to look like, or some of the, this might be the first time you've come. I just wondered what you were expecting. I wonder if it's different to your expectations. I wonder if some of you are here because you're on a rota and you have to be here. And that you're expecting it to go just as you, as had been planned. I'm going to read a passage from Luke's Gospel. It's fairly early on in the Gospel. It's chapter 5. So it's coming at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 11. I'm probably not reading in the same version as you are, so, you know, just go with it. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. He saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've been working all night long, but we've caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Wow. There's a lot in here. I just want you to come with me for a moment and let's gather with that crowd on the shore of Lake Galilee. Just get a sense of a crowd pushing in. I don't know, have you ever been in a crowd waiting for something to happen? My mum was telling me recently that she was at the coronation of the Queen. I was pretty impressed by that. I'm a lot younger. And it was that sense of expectation, isn't there? So if you've ever been in a crowd pushing in, just come and imagine what it would be like that morning. It would have been warm, getting hotter, and there are people gathering, and they're getting in together to hear what Jesus is going to say. All ages. Some would have been well-dressed. Some of them would have been quite raggedy. I wonder where you're standing in that crowd. Breathe deeply. You can have a bit of a smell, because sometimes you can have a little bit of a sense of smell within a crowd, can't you? And then actually there'll be a sense of the water of the lake. We know that sense of smell down by the sea sometimes. When the wind's blowing in a certain direction, you get the sense of the smell of the sea. So the crowd is there, standing there. I wonder, that crowd, it wasn't a silent, static crowd. There's something going on. There's an expectation that something is about to happen. I wonder if you can just catch that sense of expectation. Maybe look down towards the water edge, and there is Jesus. There's so many people pushing around, it's almost impossible to see him. So perhaps you're not too keen to push too far forward. Or maybe you want to. Maybe you want to get a bit closer. I wonder how you're feeling in that crowd. Maybe you're a little bit disappointed that you actually can't hear him. You can't see Jesus. You just wanted for a moment to catch a glimpse of him. I wonder sometimes if that's a little bit like us in our lives, that there are times in life when we want to catch a glimpse. We want to see something of Jesus. We just want some assurance. That crowd came to the sea to look for Jesus, to hear from him. I wonder where you are in the crowd, what you're pushing towards to hear. What do you expect What are you expecting from Jesus as you try and lean in a little more? What are you expecting from Jesus today? If you had to be absolutely honest, what are your expectations of Jesus? Next week, the church comes together, meets at Dales Down, and you'll be on a beautiful hillside. Fantastic place. What are you expecting? What are you expecting? What are we expecting as a part of the body of Christ from Jesus? Where are you going? What are your expectations? I wonder, as Jesus gathered down by the Sea of Gennesaret, what the crowd was expecting. This very short little passage that Luke relates to us here, it seems as though there's so much of the life of the disciples caught up in this one moment. This is a passage you can sit with for a while. Do sit with it this week, because there's loads and loads in it. I wonder if we too are listening. Are we watching from a distance? Are we going to stand back and watch, or are we going to get in and listen? Let's go back and have a look again. What's going on? Let's get a bit closer. Let's get down there to the seashore, and we'll glimpse something of the fishing boats. Can you see them? And the fishermen just beside them, mending their nets. You get the smell of stale fish. Okay? Let's get real here. This isn't some lovely place. This is the smell of stale fish by the water in the day is beginning to heat up. And the empty nets have got that yucky smell. Or maybe you like smell fish. I don't know. Maybe you do. And if you look closely, you'll see Simon Peter. He's got a net in his hand. And then he's leaning in to listen. I wonder what Simon Peter's expectations are. Because all of Simon Peter's expectations were about to be challenged. I wonder what we expect of Jesus in Brighton today. What do you expect for Jesus in your home this week? As Peter was sitting, mending his nets, what was he expecting? What do we expect of Jesus in your life this week? Simon Peter had already begun to lay down some of those things that he had expected. He wasn't really sure. Things were beginning to be challenged for him. He had been looking for the Messiah. He had been the one waiting for somebody to come, the one from God to come and overthrow the Roman Empire, to restore Israel to its glory, back to the time perhaps of when King David was there. And it was good to be an Israelite. It was good to go up to the house of the Lord. And they went freely and we rejoiced as we walked to the house of the Lord. And that's what Peter was expecting. But things were beginning to change. Simon Peter had already been with John the Baptist. He had already been following John the Baptist in the wilderness. And as he did so, he would have heard the stories of the one who was coming. He would have heard, or maybe had already been there, at the baptism of Jesus. Maybe he saw the dove come on Jesus' head and the voice saying, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." Peter's expectations were being challenged all over the place. And now here he is at his workplace, mending his nets after a really frustrating night's fishing. He had no idea what was going to happen next. Had no idea. I wonder if we sometimes have really clear expectations of God, what he should do. Do you have a list of things that you want God to do? I do sometimes. No, actually, I do quite a lot, to be honest. This is the things that I'd like you to do this week, Lord. They are good things. These are things how I would get Brighton sorted. How I would sort out my family life, my home life, my life. Because that always comes to that later on because I want to hold on to that one a little bit longer. We don't give that one to Jesus. We just say, right, Lord, this is your list. Down by the Sea of Galilee, Simon Peter's expectations of Jesus were being challenged. I want us to join there. I want us to be in that place where our expectations are challenged. So let's just watch what happens next as Peter's boat gets pushed out onto the water and he holds it steady. I love that picture of Peter holding the boat steady as Jesus teaches the crowd. His expectations beginning to change as Jesus teaches the people about the kingdom of God. A picture which is so completely different to the kingdom that Peter expected. It's like letting go. What will you let go of tonight? Whichever your expectations of God, will you let go of and just go, okay, it's over to you, Lord. The story doesn't finish there because the day is getting hotter and the crowd begins to drift away and Jesus comes ashore. But then Jesus says to Simon Peter, put out your nets into deep water. Let your nets down for a catch. Go on, go out fishing. Now that is ridiculous. It is the most stupid thing to have done. This is the heat of the day. There'd be no fish during the night when there should have been fish. There's no way there's going to be fish during the day when the day is getting hotter. The fish go deep then where it's cooler water. This is Jesus challenging Simon Peter though. He's challenging his expectations. It's a ridiculous thing to do. And yet, because Peter's been listening, because Peter's been leaning in to hear and to watch, because he has sat in the boat with Jesus, he says, Master, we've worked all night and we haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Wow. Because you say so. Completely nothing that you could possibly think would be sensible. And yet he says, because you say so. I have no expectation of fish, says Simon Peter, but I'll do it. I will be challenged. I will open myself up to be challenged and I will do as Jesus directs. Simon's expectations being challenged. Are we prepared for that today in our lives? To have Jesus challenge our expectations. How exciting is that? To lay before Jesus everything and go, I know it might be crazy. I know this might not look sensible. And yet, because you say so, Lord. But we only do that when we spent time in the boat with Jesus. We can't make this stuff up. If Peter had said to his friends that morning, I know, let's go and put our nets down again. They'd have gone, you're daft, it's ridiculous, it won't work, and it wouldn't have done. But it was because Jesus said so. Because Peter had spent time in the boat with him. Next weekend at Dalesdown, spend time in the boat with Jesus and open yourselves up to the challenge of the unexpected. So what happens? Let's go and have another look at this boat sitting on the sea. Of course, we know what happens, don't we? It's fish in abundance. It's so many fish, loads and loads of fish. It's overwhelming amounts of fish. It is just every part of fish you could ever think of. There are fish everywhere. Is that what we expect? Do you expect abundance in the kingdom of God? Or are expectations of Jesus just so little? That abundance is a word that we say, but we don't really expect. The kingdom of God is about abundance. Do we expect the sovereign God, our creator God, to be the one of abundance, so blessings in abundance? He is the source of all abundance. I can't think of another word like abundance. It's just loads of it, basically. Do we expect God to break the limits of we have placed around us? We've all placed limits on ourselves. So far and no further. The sovereign God is breaking all of those. And what happens to those nets? They begin to break. What happens to the fish, the boat? It begins to sink.
The abundance of God breaks through all the limits we put. When we hold on to our expectations and we say, Lord, you can act within what we expect, but no further, we will never experience the abundance that breaks nets and boats and our lives and rebuilds them. I wonder, next week at Dalesdown, this week in work, this week at home, wherever you are this week, do you know that there is abundance and blessing in the kingdom of God? So many fish, that he wants to just overwhelm us with his blessings. It was a mighty catch. It would have brought a whole load of money in for Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John. This was a big catch. Now, what happens next? Now, if I was Simon and the rest of them, you'd probably go into Capernaum and sell them. Or maybe invite everybody, if you're feeling really good and Christian, you'll invite everybody around for a meal to share in your abundance. No, what actually happens is that the disciples leave it all where it is. I have no idea what happened to it after that. I hope it did go and feed all of Capernaum. But it was because Jesus said so. Because Simon Peter's expectations were flipped upside down, he walked away from all the stuff that he had built up over the years. Now, I am not saying that we're going to leave here and go off and maybe God does want you to do something completely different. I have no idea. I just want us to be open to what God is going to do. We are in a time when things are interesting in the very least. And that was just like Simon Peter. Are we prepared to come to Jesus with open hands, having leaned in and listened, and hear Jesus say, I want to offer you life in all its fullness. This is his promise. We come to Jesus. We let go of everything. Why? Because Jesus let go of everything. He has walked that path before us. What happened to Jesus? He had nothing. Nothing at all, apart from who his body and what happened to his body. It was broken. That's what we do today. Jesus gives up everything for us, absolutely everything, even to his body. And yet we know that all things are in abundance in the kingdom of heaven. God's call comes not always in a holy place, but in our daily work. God's call to Simon Peter came not in the temple, but when he was mending nets. He doesn't leave us in a place where we've got to go to a holy place. He says, no, just where you are. And God's call is a reversal of our priorities. It's a reordering of our commitments. What are our expectations of God? Well, they're so often framed in our order of what we want, of our priorities. And that's not just for us individually, it's for the church, the body of Christ too. We as a body have expectations of how things should be done, of what we are going to do. It's time to let go. It's time to bring them to the feet of Jesus and say, because you say so, Lord, I will. Because you say so, Lord, I will. And Peter's response when he sees this abundance, he says, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. He's not telling Jesus to go away and never come back. What he's saying is, go forth, leave this place because I cannot stand in a place of your holiness. And yet he wants to because he gets up and follows Jesus. There's a real meeting there, isn't there? There's a real clash of things there. Peter sees. He recognizes who Jesus is. He glimpses the universal reign of God. He glimpses the universal reign of God amidst the everyday reality of life. Do we glimpse the universal reign of God today in this place The universal reign of God. This is God who is sovereign, reigning in our lives, in our midst, in our city, in our homes, in our workplaces, in everyday life. God has not changed. His reign is. Is that what we expect? Is that our expectation? Do you know the fields are ripe for harvest? There is a huge abundance of fish to be caught. Now, it may be the heat of the day, and it may be seem to us that nobody's wanting to listen, and that people aren't seeking the unexpected Jesus. But the unexpected Jesus goes, oh yes, you can go and fish in the heat of the day, because there's a catch to be caught. So my challenge really this week is, will we allow God to challenge our expectations? Will we come to Jesus and listen to him and say, because you say so, Lord, I will? And will we listen? Will we press in with Peter and with the crowd and hear Jesus? Right at the end, what does Jesus say? He says to Simon, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. From now on, do not be afraid. From now on. I don't know what your now on will be. I don't know what the now on will be of the church. But it does mean I'm going to have to tear up all my lists and bring them to the feet of Jesus. We're coming to communion in a moment. And the best place to bring our expectations, to bring our lists, to bring the limits that we have put around God is to this table. And as we share bread and as we share the wine together, let's remember that we are doing nothing that Jesus has not already done before us. And let's be bold enough to say, because you say so, Lord, I will let go. I will follow. I will listen. And together, we do not do this on our own. Together we come to the table where Jesus calls us by name, his body. Shall I pray? Lord Jesus, thank you that you are here with us now. Just as you were there with Simon Peter, so your Holy Spirit is with us now, speaking to us in such gentle voice, wanting us to open our eyes to much more abundance that we can possibly even imagine. So Lord, we want to come now and give to you our expectations of who you are and our expectations of ourselves and of our world. Lord, we just ask now as we come together around your table that your Holy Spirit will continue to speak and we will listen. And we'll lay our lives before you. So I pray in the name of Jesus who has walked before us through death and into abundant life. Amen.